איכה ישבו בדד, העיר אבו סיים, עיסק אלמונו, the movie goes on, the words which we just heard a little while ago, בוכוי סיפקה בלילה, tears are shed on Tisha B'Av. But particularly, Balayla, right now, tonight, the night of Tisha B'Av recalls a priya, a weeping, a crying that took place many, many years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Bochay Sifke Balayla, the first tears that were shed on Tisha B'Av, while Jews were just on their way out of Mitzrayim, on their way to the promised land of Eretz Yisrael. And the Meraglim spies came back with their disastrous, discouraging report that the people, the nations, and Eretz Yisrael were unconquerable. And the people cried. They wept. And because they wept that night, not believing in the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they would inherit the land promised to their ancestors, to the other Sektoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you wept, b'chinam, for no reason at all. I will give you something in later years, a real cause for weeping. Bochay Sifke Balayla, we weep here tonight, for all the terrible things that took place on Tisha B'Av, from that first incident in which led to the condemnation of an entire generation to die in the desert and not inherit Eretz Yisrael, up until Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, happened to our very day, Bochay Sifke Balayla. And if we wish to understand and really feel what we're crying about, let's first analyze what was the mistake of our ancestors when they made that Bechiya Shel Chinam, that unwarranted weeping in the desert about Eretz Yisrael. Just this morning, we heard the Baal Korah read for us from the Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu said after 40 years, he's giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, and he's recalling the incident of the Meraglim. And he says that Klal Yisrael came with a complaint that they don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. B'sinas Hashem oisanu, because God hates us. That's why He took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us here to the desert and promised us Eretz Yisrael instead. Now that statement of B'sinas Hashem oisanu is an important one for us to analyze, because it's very easy for a Jew recalling all the terrible things that happened to our people in Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, as we read in Eicha, and tomorrow in the Kinnis, all the tragedies of crusades And as we remember inquisitions, pogroms, holocausts, there's a temptation to say, "Besinas Hashem Oisanu." God doesn't like us. He causes so much trouble for His people. Let's see how short-sighted that is. And that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is not out of hate, but only out of love for His chosen people. What was it that our ancestors said there in the Midbar in regard to Eretz Yisrael? Rashi brings the Chazal. The Taina of Klal Yisrael was as follows. If a king has two fields, one which is easily irrigated, has a source of water right next to it, and another one which is dry, arid, and depends on rainfall, which may or may not come, which field does he give to his favorite son, and which to the one that he doesn't like? Of course, he gives the field that has easy access to water, and the other one, with so much dependence on an occasional rainfall, to the son that he doesn't love. In the same manner, Klal Yisrael came and said, "Ribono Shel Olam, why did you take us out of Egypt? You want us to be free men? Fine. You already subdued the Mitzrayim with 10 makos. Couldn't you leave us there? Couldn't you drive all the Egyptians out and give us Eretz Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim has the Nile with a rich source of water. Why did you insist on taking us out of Egypt and bring us to a land that has so little water and that depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it the rain that it needs? Isn't that a sign of Besinas Hashem Oisanu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like us? That's why He brings us to this dry, dependent Eretz Yisrael." And what does Chazal tell us? The answer to that weeping, to that complaint, was what Klal Yisrael was guilty of, was projection. They were projecting their dislike of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, projecting it upon Him, that He doesn't like them. What is it they didn't like about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They didn't want to be dependent on Him. They wanted to have the power to be masters of their own fate, to have the Nile right next to them. Where were they wrong? Mashal is given of a king who had his sons, and he wanted to give them all that they needed, gave them a very generous allowance, and sent them away. And they were to come once a year to get their royal allowance. And the king saw that they never came to visit him, only that once a year. And he so much wants to have the company of his sons. So he called them together and he said, "Now I want you to know you're going to come every week. You're going to have to come to get your allowance, so that I have the pleasure of your company." HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. He loves their tefillos. He doesn't want them to be independent with all the water that they need. Dafke, because He loves us. He gave us Eretz Yisrael, where we have to be mispalel. We have to call out to Him, "Father, Abba v'shamayim, give us rain." That's hatred. That's love. And the same, of course, can be said about everything that happened on Tisha B'Av throughout all of history. When we look into our sources, we see that the greatest mistake that Jews made throughout the generations, throughout the centuries, was this desire to be independent, not to have to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, of course, led them to all of the terrible things that are described in Eicha and in Kinnis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He wants us to come back to our senses, to realize that we're His children and dependent on Him. And if it's necessary to bring about destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, to bring about the slaughter of millions of people, to bring about thousands of years of exile, in order to finally bring us to our senses, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save us. That's the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we weep tonight, let's try to understand what it means for us in very practical, day-to-day terms. What does it mean to us that we lost the Beis HaMikdash? On the surface, it would seem a very difficult thing for us to connect with, to relate to. Thousands of years have gone by. We never saw a Beis HaMikdash. How can we weep for its destruction? And the answer lies in a few psukim here in Eicha. What are Jews without a Beis HaMikdash? Jews without a Beis HaMikdash, and we can feel it. Let's see what the Navi says. Second Perek of Eicha says the Navi that even when I call out to Hashem, sasum tfilasi, my tefillahs are blocked. Chazal say that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, an iron curtain descended between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His people. So difficult for us to have the proper kavana, and even when we have that kavana, to be zeichet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow our tefillahs to pierce that iron curtain. So tefillah, which we all struggle with, how much effort we put into trying to understand what we say, to feel what we say, how much effort we put into being mispalel for the welfare of the entire community, for our own welfare. Sasum tefilosi. Another pasuk describes it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting a thick cloud between Him and us. Another pasuk says, "Klal Yisrael in galus, ein teure vein nevuah." When it was a Beis HaMikdash, there was a menorah. Its light was projected throughout the world, and it brought the light of Torah to Jews who learned. Churban Beis HaMikdash is that much harder for a Jew to succeed in his learning of Torah. Sfifrei Chassidus is pointed out that when a Jew feels he's learning and it's not going, something's difficult, it's having a hard time, whether a hard time being motivated, a hard time understanding, you know what he should do then? He should think about the Beis HaMikdash, feel a sense of sadness that it's not there. That little connection to the Beis HaMikdash will pull him out of that difficulty. Nevi'im, nevuah that existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Where is it today? All these things, we weep for them because we feel their absence. And not only in the ruchnius, that our tefillah is blocked, that our Torah is harder to understand, that we lack the guidance of Nevi'im, but even in gashmiistic, in material terms. Medrash says, "Ambochay sifke b'layla." What's the significance of the weeping at night? Because when somebody weeps at night and you hear them, you weep along with them. There's sort of a sympathetic vibration. I hear tears, I hear weeping, and I cry. Medrash tells us, Rabbi Gamliel had in his neighborhood a woman who Nebuch lost a son at a very young age. And he would hear every night, he would hear crying over the loss of that child. And Rabbi Gamliel would weep along with her, because her weeping reminded him of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he wept not for her son, but he wept for Churban Beis HaMikdash. To such a degree did he cry that his eyelids came out of his eyes. And the Talmidim of Rabbi Gamliel had to find a solution to that problem of finding another home for the woman. And the question is asked, what relationship is there from the agony, the grief of a mother weeping for her lost son, and Churban Beis HaMikdash, that Rabbi Gamliel is reminded? And perhaps the answer lies in the fact that when it was a Beis HaMikdash, there was a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only in the ruchnius, the things we mentioned, but in material things as well. And when we look around today, every day in shul, leaflets proclaiming an appeal for a widow, for orphans, mailboxes throughout the Frum community stuffed with these kinds of appeals, so many accidents, so many early deaths, so many widows and so many orphans. When we see these kind of appeals, we should have the same reaction as Rabbi Gamliel. It's all because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. When we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we lack that kind of a bracha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that gave health, it gave life to his people. So we definitely have a cause for weeping. When we spoke about two periods of crying, the crying the Jews did in the Midbar when they accused HaKadosh Baruch Hu of giving them an inferior land, and the crying that we do throughout the generations on Tisha B'Av. But let me share with you a medrash about that inyan of crying. Medrash says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you cried b'chinam. It was an unwarranted crying that you did. But I will see to it that you will have other occasions for weeping. And the suggestion is that the crying that HaKadosh Baruch is referring to will serve in some way as an atonement for that unwarranted crying in the Midbar. Which crying is it referring to? There was a crying of Al-Nariz Bovel, a parak of Tehillim, that said, by many Jews before Birkas HaMazon, Al Naris HaBavel, by the rivers of Bavel, Sham Yeshavnu. There we sat, Jews taken into captivity in chains, brought into Babylonian captivity. Sham Yeshavnu Gambuchinu, B'zochenu Esiyon. Jews did not forget Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael that their ancestors spurned, rejected. They wept for it, sitting on the rivers of Bavel. And when the captors asked them, Kisham Shalunu Shaivenu, Divrei Shir, V'soyleleinu Simcha, and our captors, they demanded of us, sing for us, play music for us, play the songs that you played in your temple back in Yerushalayim. Soileleinu, our hangmen, they asked for us to give them joy. And what did the Jews reply? Those Jews weeping on the rivers of Bavel. Eich na shir shir Hashem alad masnecho. How can we possibly sing or play the songs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the songs of Hashem from the Beis HaMikdash on a foreign land? Because I'll point out to us that they didn't say, we will not sing, we will not play. They said, we cannot play the songs, we cannot bring music forth from our harps and lyres, because knowing that they would be required to do that by their enemies, they bit off their thumbs, so it would be impossible for them to play any music for those Babylonian captors. They wept. They wept for the loss of Eretz Yisrael. There was one weeping, which was the beginning of a tshuva on the part of the Jewish people in exile, wanting Eretz Yisrael, that 70 years later they would have the privilege of returning to Eretz Yisrael and be building the second base of Mikdash. But there's another weeping, the weeping that we do tonight, the weeping that we do throughout Tisha B'Av, that's also a tikkun, that's also a way of our correcting the mistake that was made in the original weeping. So how important it is for us, on the one hand, to reflect on what it means not to have a Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean to be without that power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us when His house, when His holy house stood on Har HaBayis, and all of that is lost? Shamein, Tzir Shamein, Shuvalim Hilchubay, that mountain on which stood the Beis HaMikdash, two-legged foxes walk there today. And in those words that we said at the very end of the Eicha tonight, very interesting, right before we get to the very last psukim, Al ze hayodav elibeinu, al eile choshu einenu. This is what our hearts were sad about. This is what our eyes were darkened with. Al ha'atziyon sheshameim shualim hilchubay. Right before that, there's a phrase that appeared in hundreds and hundreds of advertisements throughout the world on posters. sisters throughout Yerushalayim, throughout Eretz Yisrael, and throughout the world, all quoting the pasuk right before that. Naflo ateres roshenu. The crown upon our heads has fallen. Oil. No lanu. Kichotonu. Right before Tisha B'Av. During the 3 weeks. We experienced Nafla Ateres Rishenu, the Gadol HaDor, Tzadik, Chazal tell us that Misa Tzadikim Shokul Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. There's a physical Beis HaMikdash which was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And every time a tzaddik leaves the world, it's also like the burning, the destruction of a Beis HaMikdash. Because whatever is left of Torah, of Tefillah, of Nevuah, all that we lost in its ultimate measure with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it carries on in the teachings that we receive from our Rabbayim, the inspiration we get from them for Tefillah, the guidance we get from them from the Ruach HaKodesh, which is like Nevuah. And all that we had, we were fortunate to have for so many years, for a century. And when the time came that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to take away Ateres Rishenu, the crown of our head, we realize that it's because we weren't worthy of still having him with us. Because of our shortcomings. And Klal Yisrael perhaps try to make up for those shortcomings. And a demonstration of Kavod HaTorah, which was never seen before in Yerushalayim. We had a guest here the other day, Rabbi Metzger, Chief Rabbi of the State of Israel, in a meeting later on, that he had together with Shiva Rav Schiller, myself, and some of our Talmidim. He told us that during the Nichum Aveilim, the comforting that was going on in the home of the family of Hagoyin HaTzadik Rav Yosef Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, the head of the police here in Yerushalayim came there as well. And he said, you know, the police estimate that was reported in the media was that there were 250,000 Jews there. That Levaya, mistake. We made a recalculation. And according to our estimate, 420,000 Jews came to weep over Nafla Ateres Rishenu. Perhaps this was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a preview of our weeping here tonight. Chuban Beis Mikdash, the death of Tzadik. But weeping is not enough. Of course, all the things we'll be going through next night and day, refraining from eating, drinking, and all the physical pleasures to identify with the tragedy of Churban Beis HaMikdash. All that we will be saying tomorrow in the Kinnis, recounting the tragedies of Churban and the tragedies throughout the generations. Of course, that's important. But it's even more important is that phrase, to realize that Ateres Hoshenu, the Beis HaMikdush, is the crown on our head, and the Tzaddik of our Doyo is the crown of our head. And both are gone. Oy lanu ki chotanu. The Rambam puts it, what's the purpose of fasting? The purpose is to open our hearts, to stimulate us to think. Let us not repeat the mistakes made by our ancestors that brought about those tragedies. That's what it's all about. The purpose of Atzoim. We've mentioned in previous occasions. Why is it that when the Navi refers to a fast day, the Navi Zechariah lists all the fast days that we fast through the year? Tzoim Ravi, Tzoim Machamishi, Tzoim Hashvi, Tzoim Asiri. Right now we're in the Tzoim Machamishi, in the fifth month of the year. Why is it called Tzoim? Throughout the Gemara it's called Tainis. In Shulchan Aruch it's called Tainis. In our vernacular we call it Tainis. What does the word Tzoim mean? Radak brings from his father in Sefer Melachim that the word Tzoim, and this is important for us to internalize, Tzoim is like the word Tzomet. He uses the example, those who are familiar in Hilchus Treifus, there's a concept of Tzoimes Agidin. The sinews come together in the foot of an animal. Its effect, its impact on the kashrus of the animal. We're familiar with, on our roads here in Eretz Yisrael, every junction, Tzomet. Tzom is from the word Tzomet. Tzom means a coming together. Because when Jews fasted, not only on these days of the Churbanos, but when Jews fasted because they needed rain, as we spoke about at the very beginning, they were given an Eretz Yisrael where they have to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there were periods of droughts, famines, and they got together and they fasted and they prayed and they prayed until HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them the rain they needed. But when they got together to fast, because of a lack of rain or because of the threat of an enemy, whatever problem there was, what did they do? Just deny themselves food and drink? No. They got together and each one tried to analyze, what did I do wrong? And that kind of a communal getting together, each one being challenged, are there things that you have to do tshuva for? And that's the power of getting together. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we make it a point here in the yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem that others are emulating this as well in other parts of here, of Yerushalayim, and throughout the world, getting together people and to talk about Tisha B'Av, talk about its meaning, talk about the shortcomings that we have, our shortcomings in Tefillah, our shortcomings in Limud HaTorah, our shortcomings in Bein Adam LaChaveroi. Tzoimet. Tzoim. That getting together. And that kind of a unity can only come when we're fasting. Because when we're eating, when we're eating and washing and doing all the physical things, our bodies separate us one from another. But there are no bodies now. We have a room full of neshamas. All together with that energy, trying to connect to what went wrong in the past. What went wrong in Klal Yisrael failing to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. And no matter what happens to every individual, what happens to us as a nation and all the dangers that we face, It's all beyond our understanding, but with a firm belief, it's out of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's that kind of a love which we express at the very end of the kinnis, the very end of the Eicha, that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of our getting together, the power of our making resolutions, each one of us in our hearts and our minds, to try to fill the vacuum created by the death of so many Gdolim in the last year or two. Tremendous loss, so much of a challenge to us to learn better, to daven better. And we ask, though, it's so hard, Rabbeinu Shalom, we try, but it's so hard, there's so many distractions, there's so many difficulties, physical, emotional, environmental, so many challenges. Rabbeinu Shalom, we'll try, but we know that inevitably we need your help. We'll never make the mistake of our ancestors and say we can do it alone. That we don't want to be dependent on you. Not only are we dependent on you for rain, not only are we dependent on you for health, but we're dependent even for tshuva. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Rabbeinu Shalom, we all want to do tshuva. We don't want the tragedies of the past to be repeated. We want to see the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, Rabbeinu Shalom, give us that koyach, bring us back to you. The Hashuva, we promise you, will come running. Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem, bring back the days of old. And bring the fulfillment of what the Navi said, Tzom Ravi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asiri. Shavuot B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, Nasar B'Tevis, Yihu L'Beis Yehuda, will be to the house of Jewry, L'Sasin, L'Simcha L'Moyadim Tovim. This day, this night, will no longer be one of weeping, but one of rejoicing with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, with B'as Mashiach, Sidkenu B'Mehru B'Yomeinu. Amen.